As Brother Brett announced, our topic is entitled, The Time That Is Given Us. Thanksgiving provides another time in which we all can give thanks to our loving Heavenly Father and His dear Son for our many temporal blessings. One such blessing is a delicious food which we feast on this Thanksgiving weekend that we have received and shared together with family. As I mentioned earlier, we had a wonderful meal at the Caravas and Armstrong families. Now, I know all of you are aware, if you attend any Bible student convention, you can see that the brethren really do love their food. They do enjoy the temporal provisions. There's always baking and fruit and snacks at convention time, in the fellowship time, and of course, the meals that we have together during convention time. In fact, I understand there's a new hymn that's going to be added to the Bible student hymnal. It's in hymn number 64A, and it's entitled, Till We Eat Again. But more importantly, Thanksgiving is another opportunity for the consecrated and the Spirit-begotten to be thankful for the spiritual food. And it was mentioned here this morning, the beautiful harvest message of present truth that has been served to us at the table by the present Lord through his seventh messenger, Brother Russell. Now, I have heard the brethren say many times, especially the last few years, I can't imagine what life would be like without a knowledge of the truth. Thanksgiving provides us opportunity to reverence and worship our Heavenly Father and his dear Son and praise in thankfulness. As we read in Psalms 111, verse 1 through 5, Psalms 111, verses 1 through 5, it reads, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. In the company of the upright and in the assembly, great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. And this Thanksgiving weekend, we are now in the company of the upright, and we are in assembly together, thanking the Lord for his great and precious promises, which he has abundantly fed us. Thanksgiving also provides time for the Lord's people to review and to reflect on events, both good and bad, in their spiritual lives. And some of these were shared in testimony just a while ago. Just as the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, 1 Thessalonians 4:18, he said, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, taking our minds back to Thanksgiving 2020, remember that? We were forced to assemble in a manner much differently than we ever could have imagined. COVID-19 became a worldwide pandemic, and it has become the most worldwide life-changing event most of us had ever experienced in our lives. At that time, lockdowns were ordered by government health agencies, which greatly affected our schools, workplaces, homes, and our ecclesias. And the brethren wondered, how will we be able to meet together? And in the Lord's providence, a way was provided for us to meet. Our tech-savvy brethren introduced us to a video communication app called Zoom. I'd never heard of Zoom before. And Zoom made it possible to see and hear one another for class meetings or conventions, easily accessed on our computers or our devices. Now, on April 7th of 2020, we will never forget that our most reverential service, the Lord's Memorial, could not be held in person together. Yet we were very thankful, however, that we were all able to remember our Lord's sacrifice and partake of the emblems together through Zoom. The exception being, however, we had to do so in the privacy of our own individual homes. Now, during that solemn evening service, I was thinking in my mind how the 2020 memorial was very similar to the very first Passover held in Egypt so long ago. Like Pharaoh, the adversary is the God of this world during our nighttime of sin and death. Like the firstborn Israelites, we also were gathered, each in our separate homes, having the blood of the Passover lamb sprinkled on the door and the lintels of our hearts. It had bitter herbs, our present trials, which served to whet our appetites towards the Lord and to appreciate more our spiritual hopes, aims, and ambitions. We too were eating of the lamb, appropriating the merit of his sacrifice with unleavened bread. Like the firstborn, we too were also preparing for a long journey ahead of us, looking for that city which is yet to come. We too were girded with the robe of Christ's righteousness, wearing the sandals of peace to walk in Jesus' footsteps in the narrow way. And we had a staff in hand, God's word, his precious promises to assist us and give us strength on this difficult spiritual journey. That first memorial reminds us too of the shelter that God has provided for the firstborn that evening to protect them from the angel of death. And this is a beautiful picture of the shelter from condemnation provided for us, the firstborn of the gospel age, through the blood of Christ, our Passover lamb. Psalm 61 verse 3 reminds us of God's watch care over us. It says, "Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." Now, whatever shelter we have been blessed with along natural lines these last few years, such as governmental health, economic, and social arrangements, is attributed by the Lord's people not to chance or good fortune, but to God's providences for his children. While thankful for whatever shelter we may enjoy along natural lines, in our experiences the past years, we realize that the Lord's people especially needed shelter spiritually as new creatures in Christ. Now, many illustrations of this shelter of the Christian are brought to our attention in the scriptures. For instance, a shelter from the great flood, which destroyed the world that was, God provided an ark for righteous Noah and his family. The ark, a type of Christ. Today, a sign of our Lord's presence. He said, "For as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man." Today, we too are protected as Noah's family was, as they preached righteousness and worked on building the ark. The Heavenly Father says to us in Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will also help you. I will also uphold you with my righteous right hand." Indeed, we are living in the days of the Son of Man. Our Father's righteous right hand, the Lord of the harvest, is commanding, "Do not harm the earth or the sea until we have sealed the bondservants of God on their foreheads." The consecrated were also sheltered from harm by not participating these last few years in the social, civil, political unrest, because they obey God's word. Isaiah 26:20, we read, "Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until the indignation runs its course." Another text given how to receive God's shelter for both the consecrated and the unconsecrated during the day of the Lord, this time of trouble that we are in, is found in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3. Zephaniah 2, verse 3. And it reads, "Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have practiced his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will remain hidden on the day of the Lord's anger." Now, COVID-19 and its after effects, which we have all witnessed in the social, the political, economic, and religious systems, has certainly required us, as the Spirit begotten, to now put our faith in God and his divine plan into action. We remember that faith is made up of two parts. One, intellectual assurance. As Bible students say, the most beautiful thing about the truth is that it's true. And number two, the second part of faith is heart reliance or trust in God. The upheaval we have seen in the world stimulates us now to look into God's word to strengthen our faith, our intellectual assurance, our trust in God during this time of trouble. Paul's prophetic message in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 11. Paul speaks to us now during the times in which we are living. He said, "Now, as to the periods and times, brothers and sisters, you have need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord is coming just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then, let's not sleep as others do, but let's be alert and sober. But since we are of the day, let's be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are also doing." It's so true. As sons of the day, Paul's words here give us hope and intellectual assurance that prophesied that labor pain, birth pain events would occur in the world as suddenly during the day of the Lord. As in natural labor, these labor pains will get more severe and closer together before the great time of trouble, since there ever was a nation, which will precipitate the birth of the fully established kingdom, when the church complete, the bride of Christ will be beyond the veil. We know that the birth pains during the day of the Lord is part of the permission of evil and a process of dismantling Satan's unrighteous order to be replaced with the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells. We have faith that there is a silver lining to today's dark, stormy clouds. Now, this intellectual assurance gives us shelter and peace of heart and mind as we observe and experience the difficult prophetic times we have all shared these past few years. And indeed, we will need to put this faith into action in the years that are ahead of us. The Apostle Paul said that these labor pains during the day of the Lord would come upon the world suddenly. And how suddenly COVID-19 has changed our temporal and spiritual lives. It's another reminder that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. famous author J.R. Tolkien experienced a very severe birth pang event when he was a soldier during World War I. In his famous book, The Lord of the Rings, he writes sound advice in how the Lord's people should react when we are forced to face a sudden time of crisis in our lives. Now, the main character of the story was named Frodo, and he experienced a sudden, unexpected time of trouble, which dramatically changed his former safe, comfortable, peaceful way of life. Now, he was overtaken with fear and anxiety. Frodo said to his friend Gandalf, "I wish this not happened in my lifetime." And Gandalf replied, "So do I, and so do all who live to see such troubling times. But it is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." Now, perhaps Tolkien was familiar with our Lord's counsel about what to do with the time that is given us, when our Lord said, "Seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and to live righteously. All of your temporal needs will be provided. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for you today." As we look ahead to the post-COVID state of the world, uncertainties are prevalent in the social, economic, religious, and political systems, and we should all follow our Lord's counsel. We can't say, "Oh, I wish this didn't happen in my lifetime." We must decide what to do with the time that has been given us. Our faith and trust in God must now be put into action for our best spiritual interests as new creatures in Christ. We cannot let worry about the future paralyze us. A scripture which is very appropriate to direct us in how to use the time that is given us during the day of the Lord is found in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And it reads, "Yet those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Eagles are used in the Bible to represent faithful Christians because we learn spiritual lessons from them. An eagle knows when a storm is approaching, long before it breaks. The eagle will then fly to perch on a high point and watch and wait for the winds of the storm to come. Now, 5 points from this verse tell us what we can do with the time that is given us in order to prepare for the storms of life as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in our consecrated lives. First, the text says that those who wait for the Lord will be able to rise above the winds of trouble. Those who wait will develop the fruit of patience, perseverance, or constant endurance. And it is said that patience smooths the way for every other grace. If patience can be displayed under all circumstances of life, then the other graces of the Spirit will follow. A second point of instruction in this verse in Isaiah says that if we wait, we will renew our strength. How do we do this? We start by looking after our natural body, which is the temple that houses our new creature, our spiritual mind. For physical strength, let's make sure that we eat healthy food, drink plenty of water, and exercise, and get the required hours of sleep. In this way, we can renew our strength for our bodies. To renew our spiritual strength, we must keep our vessels filled to the brim with God's Holy Spirit, his word, his holy influence, his energy or power in our lives. To do this, we must pray. We must watch and pray to the Lord without ceasing. Prayer is the lifeline to strengthen our new creature. To renew our spiritual strength, we also need spiritual food. Living during the Lord's parousia, we have been served wonderful dispensational food from God's word, the harvest message of present truth. And as a sign of his presence, the Lord said, "Where the meat is, the eagles will gather." And as the Lord's eagles, the Chicago Brethren have renewed your strength with this meat through your Sunday meetings, weeknight meetings, whether in person or on Zoom, the Chicago class hosts conventions and young people symposiums. You have weekly and monthly discourses from your elders and Bible studies. You study Brother Russell's writings in the volumes and reprints. And you have a marvelous website that anyone can access at any time. We have the Christian Resources app. And I heard that the brother that started that app is in Chicago, Brother Paul. I was hoping to meet him. I was going to give him a hug. What a wonderful resource that is for the Lord's Eagles to have that. Oh, okay. Maybe we'll meet at the airport. And then you have the Chicago Bible Students publications in order to gain new strength. And you can do this both as a volunteer or personal study. Now, we know personal study is very important. Personal study to prepare for our meetings is profitable to gain new strength. In so doing, we can help the study leaders with good comments, more scriptural references, or stimulating questions. Paul gives sound advice how to strengthen all the members of our ecclesias. Reading again from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 14. Now remember, the context of this is during the day of the Lord. Paul says to the Chicago class, "But we ask you, brothers and sisters, to recognize those who diligently labor among you and are in leadership over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, and that you regard them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brothers and sisters, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." A wonderful way to renew our spiritual strength during these peaceful or stormy times of life is by listening to our beautiful hymns of praise. And we even have many recordings now where we can listen to these wonderful hymns of praise, which we have in our Bible student hymnals. And aren't they like prayers, lifting our hearts and minds to the Heavenly Father? Now, looking back to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, through patience and renewed strength, it says that the Lord's people will then lift up their wings as eagles. Now, in the natural world, when a storm blows, the eagle, who has been watching and waiting, perched high above the world, sets its strong wings so that the wind will pick it up and lift it high above the storm. The eagle does not escape the storm. Instead, while the storm rages on below, the eagle uses the wind of the storm to lift it higher, higher above the clouds of trouble that is affecting the world below. Again, in the coming years, we feel that we will be facing more stormy winds in our temporal and spiritual lives. It seems COVID-19 has just precipitated all of these factions in the four winds. The stormy times during the time that has been given us will not overwhelm us if we are prepared. As eagles, we can't get involved or dwell on the same level of the world with all of its causes and rights and difficulties. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are to be ambassadors of Christ. We must allow God's Spirit to lift up our hearts and our minds above the world and all these troubles and difficulties going around us. We are to be participants. Sorry. We are to be observers during these times, not participants. The Lord's eagles are to be observers in the troubles below, not participants. Now, the 31st verse in Isaiah 40 are the fourth and the fifth steps for the Lord's eagles to prepare for the storms of life. It says that we can run and not be weary, plus we will walk and not faint. Apostle Paul counsels us to run with patience the race which is set before us, the high calling in Christ. So our consecrated life then is likened to a marathon, not a sprint. We must pace ourselves for the long run of sanctification and Christ-likeness in order that we do not become weary. We must continue to walk in Jesus' footsteps in the narrow way, doing God's will in our consecrated lives. As the Lord said to us, the Laodicean church during the day of the Lord, Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. The Lord says to us, I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. The Lord here is saying to us that to be pleasing to him, we must be hot. Hot representing hot to righteousness, and cold. Cold representing cold to unrighteousness, which is going on all around us. We know that our Lord loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. We are living in stressful times. Anxiety is high in the people regardless of their age or occupation. We must decide what to do with the time that has been given us. As we now work and interact with all the people in our communities, in our families, in our ecclesias, we have been so blessed with the light of knowledge of God, his wondrous works, and the glorious doctrines of his plan that have enlightened us because we have a hope for the world and not just for ourselves. As Christ's body members, we should let our light shine in word and in deed in these times with examples of moral excellence, self-control, perseverance, kindness, gentleness, godliness, all summed up, as Apostle Paul taught, agape love. By this the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be Jesus' disciples. Now that we have touched on the first aspect of faith, intellectual assurance, let's draw our attention now to the second and the most difficult part of our walk in faith. That is trust, or heart reliance in God. Trust in our Father can only be developed through his providential experiences of life, which he has allowed in the form of blessings, or in trials, and we heard about that in the testimony. Can we have faith and trust like Job, who said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him? Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, 3 says, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Through trust, steadfast in our hearts and minds, we do have this peace which the world cannot give. Even during times of trouble, this faith enables us to do his will and seek righteousness in all of life's affairs, which then provides us with this peace. Now, Brother Russell has served us not only intellectual assurance from the scriptures to build up our faith, but more importantly, he has provided just as many lessons in regards to developing trust, heart reliance in God during our trials of life. Now, as we count our many blessings, we should not overlook the trials which the Heavenly Father has permitted to come to us. God, in his wisdom, sees that we need such difficulties, and in his love, he permits them. If our wills are resigned to him, then he will be thankful. We will be thankful that he is providing for all of our needs, including trials, that are necessary for the rounding out of our Christian characters. For the time that has been given us, I will read excerpts from reprint 5499, entitled The Proper View of Our Trials. It contains spiritual wisdom to build and maintain our trust in God and in his promises. We quote, "There is a special love required by God of the gospel church, this peculiar class now called of him. They are to have a love that is so unselfish that it will be willing, yea, glad, to lay down the earthly life in the service of God, that they may bring blessings to others. To these God has promised a special crown of life, immortality, his own nature. How thankful we should be for an honor so great. If these favored children of the heavenly King could always keep in mind the fact that every trial, every testing, every persecution and difficulty permitted to come upon those who have made the covenant of sacrifice with the Lord is designed to develop them, to prove and test their love, to demonstrate whether or not their characters are fixed, rooted, and grounded in righteousness. For if by these trials and tribulations the Lord is proving our love and devotion to him, then whatever they may be, whether be great or small, we should diligently use them as opportunities to demonstrate to our God the fullness of our love for him and his cause, and as means by which we may rise day by day to greater heights of spiritual attainment, being changed into the likeness of our Master. Thus viewed and thus met, every trial and affliction would prove a blessing, a heavenly messenger bearing us on wings of faith, nearer our God to thee. Truly, these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen, the things of this present order, are temporal. But the things which are not seen, the glories to come, are eternal. Oh, how much all the followers of Jesus need to look unto the Lord in respect to all their trying experiences. How much we all need to have and to exercise faith in God, that he knows, he sees, and he is able and willing to make all things work together for good to us, to make all things because we love him, because we have been called according to his purpose, because we are seeking to make that calling and election sure by the development of a character for joint heirship with our Redeemer." End quote. Now, this Thanksgiving weekend, we have counted the many blessings for what the Lord has done for us. During the time that has been given us in this present day of the Lord, we are thankful that we have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We are thankful that our Heavenly Father has made ample provision for his Spirit-begotten firstborn and has sheltered us with the whole armor of God, the harvest message of present truth. Our covenant of sacrifice to the high calling in Christ has indeed brought us into the secret place of the Most High, and he will hide us safely in the shadow of his hand. Many past experiences of God's faithfulness and care for his own have been written for us in the scriptures and give us great comfort and good hope for the future. For he is the same and he changes not. Yes, faith can firmly trust him, come what may. Job 23, verse 10 says, "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." God is trying us through the fires of affliction so that the gold of our character might be refined. When we consider that all we have and all we hope for are ours by God's grace, our debt of gratitude should make us thankful every day and not just on Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving weekend. As King David expressed in Psalms 107, verse 21 and 22. Psalm 107, 21 and 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Again, David writes to us in Psalm 116, verses 13 and 17, and Psalms 118, verse 27. 118, verse 27, David says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Let us thus offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving continually and bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Let us remember that this Thanksgiving weekend, that the time that has been given us, it has been and it will be challenging. Let's maintain a proper view of our trials. As the poet has said, faith looks upward to God. Love looks outward to others. Hope looks forward to the future. We have the assurance of God's divine care, his forgiveness, his help and discipline. All of these evidences convince us of the Heavenly Father's love towards us. We know that he cares and that no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So as the Lord's eagles, let's continue to display perseverance and gain new strength. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Watch and pray so that we can lift our wings high above the storms of the world which are below. Remember, we are to be observers in all of this, not participants. As children of the day, let's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We must be hot towards righteousness and cold to unrighteousness in this Laodicean period of the church. In closing, for the time that has been given us, Paul gives us these encouraging words, once again from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24. So during the day of the Lord, the Apostle Paul is saying to you and me right now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete without blame at the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will do it. So may the Lord add his blessing to these few thoughts about the times that have been given us and what we are to do with the times that have been given us. So God be with you till we meet again.